And we're shoveling. This is the growing season right here on News Talk, Saga 960 AM. Happy New Year to all of our listeners. I'm Matt, the producer, a.k.a. Matt McFarland. Pleased to be joined by my father, Jack, as usual, in the co-pilot's chair. Dad, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Matthew, and Happy New Year to you.
How did you and Mom spend your New Year's? What'd you do?
We didn't do much at all. I was too tired, Matthew.
Was it like Netflix and chill and stuff?
That's basically what it was.
Nice.
And since I'm not a drinking man, your mom had one glass of wine and she passed completely out.
Completely cheap drunk. I love it. So we thought about with the New Year's resolutions and such, we would get into some more of a health-wise show. In fact, Dad, do something for me. Say the word house with a lisp. Go.
House with a lisp? Okay,
yeah.
Okay, lisp.
Health.
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 So today we're going to talk about health plants. In other words, house plants that have
healthy
benefits.
Sure.
Yeah, health plants with a lisp. House with a lisp. Health. I love it.
Sounds like Klaus Thiessen, doesn't it?
It does sound a little bit like Glenn Echo's Klaus Thiessen. Taus Gleason. Anyway, this is going to be a very interesting show, trying to put lisps on everything. Also, too, we have the wonderful honor of chatting with Kimberly O'Brien of Bolton's Ancient Medicines. She is a holistic practitioner, and she uses a lot of herbals, a lot of horticultural elements in her practice, and it was a wonderful opportunity to marry some of these health benefits. She has a house as well, so she could be health benefits.
So did you have a towel, Matthew?
Sorry?
Did you have a towel when you were doing the massage thing?
Yeah, I have to brush the mic off.
Were your bare butt to the wind? What was it?
Oh, when I was down there? Yeah, so I also had the opportunity to have a massage at her place. She's a massage therapist as well. And yes, I was down to underwear, and there was a blanket and the whole thing. Yeah, we're going to get into actually, I did an interview pre and post at the massage. We're getting into that on like a different show. But on this one, Kimberly O'Brien, talking about holistic practitioners and holistic practitioning, as well as the plants and the horticultural elements that she uses, and health plants, house plants that have health benefits, all that and much more on this episode of The Growing Season, right here on News Talk, Saga 960 AM. Back off commercial break. This is The Growing Season right here on News Talk Saga 960 AM. Once again, Happy New Year. Dad, normally we do a little bit of a preamble here before we actually get into it, but there's a common adage in your house that your wife, my mother, Lynn McFarland, not only does she kill her houseplants, but she kills everybody's houseplants in the neighborhood.
Yeah, she's terrible with it. I know that when we first got married, Matthew, I went and got her a Norfolk Island pine and a chiffleur and that kind of idea.
Oh, you're making me throw up the Latin already on this?
No, chiffleur is fine. And so anyways, I got her like these 6-8 footers and she killed both of them. So she would not do well doing this show, Matthew.
Now, I was always, you sort of hear about this green thumb or lack of a green thumb thing or lack of a green thumb thing. Something.
Thumb thing?
Something.
Okay.
Yes. This show has been brought to you by Speech Impediments.
Okay.
You think people say that, oh, my such and such kills houseplants routinely, and it's used as a bit of a slight or a bit of a slur. But in my thought process goes like this. My mother happens to be a mother. Otherwise, she wouldn't be my mother because she wouldn't be a mother. But a lot of it has to do with overcare, correct? People want to overcare for their houseplants, and that overcare results in over death.
No,
lots of death.
Death to plants.
Yeah, is that what this is? Is the number one? Not to jump too deeply into the subject yet, but the number one question we would consistently hear, being out as horticulturalists in the industry, is how do I take care of this thing without killing it? And I would say 90% of the problem has to do with
overwatering
or overcare.
No, like actually overwatering, Matthew.
That's the number one issue.
That's the number one issue. And so when it comes to watering, Matthew, what would you recommend?
Okay, I always heard that the rule is if you stick your finger into the soil of a houseplant down about 1 inch and it's still moist, like you pull your finger out and you can still see granules of soil
on your finger. Yeah.
And there's little, and your finger's slightly black from topsoil.
Sure.
It does not need water. That's what I heard.
And there's all these little moisture meters and so forth. But in my case, I think it's a complete waste of time.
Yeah. Now, by the way, for those that don't know, if this is your first time, thank you for joining us. This is the growing season right here on News Talk Saga 960 AM. And you're sitting there going, wait a second, I'm still off work. And these two clowns are talking about health plants. I love it. Health plants. But I don't know what any of these things look like. My dad's already dropped two of them. Now I have to keep a running tally of exactly what I'm going to be putting up on the website as we go here. But Norfolk Island Pine and Schefflera, we always have a visual accompaniment to the show. And the reason why we feel that this is important is because for us, we know what a Norfolk Island Pine looks like. And I love how the people from Boston say it, because they would say Norfolk. And thank you to the CRTC for that.
We're not pulling us.
Phone ringing in the background. But so we thought a visual accompaniment to the show was really important. So if you go on the website, growingseasoncanada.com, click on Show Bits. The top one, the very, very top blog, will be an accompaniment to today's show. It will have visuals with it. Prior to today's show post-show, I will embed a podcasted version of this exact show. What you're hearing right now will literally be embedded into the show bits so that you can go home afterwards. If you missed today's show live, that's fine. You can go home afterwards, click on Show Bits, and the show will be there and you can literally follow along. There will be a visual accompaniment to the show. Now, the one thing that we were not good at, I was not good at was apprising our audience of when the heck this thing airs on News Talk Saga 960. So the new shows are always out Monday mornings, 11 a.m. Saturday at 10 a.m., there's a replay. Sunday, 2 p.m., also a replay. If you're unsure of all that, growingseasoncanada.com. Click on home. It tells you exactly when this thing broadcasts. Correct, Dad?
Yes. And Matthew, enough on the commercials, back to the plants, okay?
I like that. But you got to do this. Listen, I was guilty of not being good at this towards the latter part of 2019.
I agree. Let's get back to watering for your plants, or water for your plants.
Okay, now, have we buried the lead here? Have we jumped too far too quick here?
Well, you should have got into a little bit of the history, but let's you want to do
No. Let's do that. We can get back to watering. Okay. Newsflash, houseplants need water, and we'll come back to it. A little bit of history. First of all, without even scouring information, I bet you any money these things came from probably the Romans.
You got it.
Or the Mayans or the Aztecs or something like that.
Well, not the Mayans or the Aztecs, but Babylon, Egypt, Rome, and Greece.
Okay.
And why did they have houseplants in the first place, Matthew?
Was it superstitious? Was it astrological? Were they into cosmicness?
Nothing like that.
All right.
It was the wealthy. The wealthy had all this extra money around, and they decided they would put some plants on the inside of their houses, and that's why they used it. It was like 500 to 400 BC, so it goes back a long way.
But what are they bringing in?
They're bringing in tropicals and subtropicals. So out and about, when they're out there raping and pillaging, they were also gathering plants that they could put in their homes.
Remember that Monty Python? I forget what movie it was. It could have been The Quest for the Holy Grail or whatever. And somebody says along the way, oh man, these guys were out there raping the fields and pillaging the women. And the other guy's like, wow, they're sick. Bunch of sick people raping the fields, pillaging the women.
Anyways.
So yeah, they just stop along the way. Some people stop for a coffee break, but in between all the terror and the carnage that they're causing, they're like, oh, that's a beautiful plant.
That's an interesting plant. Let's take that home.
We should bring that inside.
Yeah. So it was like tropicals and subtropicals, same as what we do today.
Now, hold up a second. Tossing words around here like crazy. What's a tropical?
A tropical is a plant that grows in the tropics, generally zone 9 through 11.
Yeah. Okay. Whoa, and 9 through 11.
Sure.
Which means this thing will not handle us at all.
No, it can't have any sort of drafts or anything from outdoors, especially in the wintertime.
All right, so then is a subtropical something where you take a tropical, you put it in a submarine, and then submerge it underneath the water?
No, it's generally probably anywhere from, say, 7 through 9.
Oh.
So it's definitely can take a little more, But again, and remember, these they were gathering plants that they saw along the way that were kind of interesting, and then they brought them home.
And they were the first to introduce terracotta pots.
Terracotta and I think marble or something at one time as well. I think the Romans did that.
Now, from what I've heard about the terracotta pot, and for our listeners that don't know, don't worry. It's cool. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm going to toss one up on ShowBits, growingseasoncanada.com. Click on ShowBits. The terracotta, I heard, is great because it's a rather porous material, and when you pour moisture into this thing, it actually helps retain moisture. It pulls some of the moisture into the pot and then releases at a later date. Is that correct?
And if it's a bit humid on the humid side in your home, it would also draw moisture that way.
I'm sorry, what's the word?
Humid.
See, you do this humid. You
no, don't
pronounce the H.
Yes, I do.
I think it's humid. Ha. Huh.
Okay, humid.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. How tall are you? I'm this height.
No.
Not height.
No.
Right? All right.
Okay, back to the watering,
right, Matthew. Right, right. Oh, no, history. Watering comes. Well, sorry, I guess. Caring for the houseplant. Now we're sort of touching on this. So we established that the Romans take these things in between raping and pillaging. They're like, that's a cool houseplant, bring it home. Putting them in pots. Caring for these suckers. Number one rule, and we touched on it right off the top, H2O.
Absolutely.
Got to have water.
Okay. So if you're using water, especially from your tap, what would you recommend, Matthew?
As far as what?
As far as how to use the water on the plant in the first place.
Okay, so what we do at home, and we've experimented with a bunch of stuff here. We have a dehumidifier in our basement. And this could just be complete straight up voodoo. It could be me imagining this. But I will tell you, man, those plants, our house plants, do better with the water that we get from the dehumidifier than they do drinking the water that they get from the tap. I'm telling you.
Okay. The water from the tap is fine, but you must leave it for 24 hours, Matthew.
Chlorine.
And why is that?
Chlorine.
Chlorine and?
What else is in there?
Fluoride.
It's fluoride. Now here, but what I don't understand, so what, are you telling me that the 24 hours takes the...
Yes, it dissipates it all.
Why?
It eventually evaporates into the air.
But isn't the chlorine and the fluoride, aren't these chemicals?
Sure,
why would the
are.
Chemicals just evaporate?
No, they evaporate and they dissipate over time.
See, I think
so 24 hours. No, Matthew, I am 100% sure
I think that's
on this.
Voodoo too.
So what about, say, people have water softeners and they're using these salts and so forth?
That's
for
not
water.
Good either, is it?
No, again, no. 24 hours and it should be gone.
They even say too, if you don't have the dehumidifier and you don't want to leave it sitting out, boil the water first and then let it cool.
Or another thing, if you have access, depending on the time of the year, rainwater is ideal.
Rainwater. We used to do the rainwater too years ago, and that's even better than the dehumidifier water.
100%.
The plants, it's like steroids.
Sure.
Absolutely steroids.
So wait a minute, Matthew.
Yeah.
So if you do overwater, what are some of the symptoms that you would see or some of the things that you would see concerning your plant?
Root rot, a.k.a. syphilis and gonorrhea for plants.
Root rot is a nasty one.
Terrible.
And it's generally a death sentence for your plant.
And how do you know if the plant is getting root rot? What's it look like?
Well, what happens is portions of the actual stem will break off at the where it touches the ground. And so that's generally what happens. But you'll see other symptoms. The leaves might wither and curl, or they'll have a certain way of looking. They look kind of chloretic and that kind of thing.
Hold on. Whoa, with you. Chloretic.
Yes.
What does that mean?
The green does not look very green anymore.
It's kind of washed out green?
Yeah, the chlorophyll is kind of dissipated, okay?
Okay. Look at you with words today, man.
I am so sorry.
Listeners are like, I'm hungover here, man, and this guy's throwing chloretic.
So if your plants have been underwatered, overwatered, or whatever, what are some of the other things that might affect the plant?
What do you mean?
Well, if it's in its weakened state, what right. are some of the other things?
Well, light. It's got to have adequate light.
Well, photosynthesis is a biggie.
Right.
Okay, chlorophyll regeneration. Yes, that's
right.
important.
As well as...
What kind of light?
It's got to be indirect, not blasting.
Well, the thing is that people think that they need to put it in their window and get complete sunlight. That's not necessarily true. Any light will do, even a light from a lamp or so forth.
Yeah.
Because light is light as far as the plant is concerned.
We have a fern underneath a suspended light from our ceiling. And that fern, the leaves are growing straight up towards the light. because of this lamp.
So if
go to the light, Carolyn.
So if you're a dead plant, you don't want to go to the light. Is that what you're saying?
Right, yes, to quote Poltergeist. Yeah, now I got to go drop the. I have to get the sample clearance for that because Steven Spielberg's going to sue our asses. So what about drafts?
Well, it depends, again, on the time of the year. In the winter, of course, most plants hate drafts. So if you've got it near a window and you have it's not very well sealed or near a door, then you have major problems happening.
But what about something like a Norfolk Island pine? Shouldn't that be able to take a little bit more drafts than, say, something like a Schefflera or something like a Christmas cactus or something like those things?
Absolutely. You could use a Norfolk Island pine and they would tolerate it much more. But again, choose and select.
So when we go to make recommendations on light conditions and soil, my question being is, because when you get anything outdoors, you're talking about certain plants have drastically, drastically, drastically different requirements.
That's too many drastically.
Three of them, I believe it was drastically. Yeah, three. But yet indoors, is it a blanket statement where indirect light and don't overwater? Keep it moderately watered. That's going to be
moist to the touch. This is a general rule of thumb.
But that's a blanket statement for
all
indoors.
Okay. Number two thing, Matthew, is don't over fertilize.
Yeah,
that's a biggie. And what kind of fertilizer would you recommend?
Well, Matthew? You would have to get involved in some sort of a fertilizer that is recommended for indoor plants, tropical plants. Now we haven't touched. Actually, this is the first time that we've touched on the fertilizer situation when it comes to the hour format of the growing season here. We did touch on it when the growing season was on the spin with Barry Davis on News Talk Saga 960 AM. But there's three numbers on this thing, on fertilizer.
NPK.
Okay. Nitrogen, phosphorus, and then kaline or potash.
Potash.
Right?
Yeah.
What do the three numbers do?
Well, the three numbers do is, for instance, the there's two different types of fertilizer, okay? There's something called macronutrients and something called micronutrients. And so the macronutrients are things like you said, NPK, which is nitrogen, phosphorus, and potash. So what you'll find is, okay, nitrogen is green growth. And that's like anything that happens like with your plant pertaining to photosynthesis, which is chlorophyll regeneration.
They always put the nitrogen. That's always first number.
Oh, number one. And most important, by the way. And then number two would be your phosphorus, which would be for your roots, flowers, or fruits, okay?
Okay.
And then the potassium would – it regulates the carbon dioxide uptake. And it also does something called – controls ATP, which is a biggie. And you're going to say, what the hell is ATP? And it's oh my God, I don't even think I can say this. Adenosine triphosphate.
Yeah.
And you're going to say, oh, what the heck is...
How many phosphates in that thing?
Triphosphate.
So there's three phosphates in there.
You got it.
Right.
But that's just basically plant health.
Because
so it's important.
What's better than one phosphate?
Is triphosphate.
Three of
them.
Yes. It's a threesome. Okay.
Wait. Okay. Okay. Micronutrients. Why so important, Matthew?
Well...
Trace elements is another word.
Oh, okay.
Why is that important?
Does this have to do with free radicals or anything?
No free radicals.
Oh, all right. None on this one, huh? So micronutrients would be the what? Small nutrients? But how does that affect the plants?
Well, micronutrients, you would be things like manganese, sulfur, or could be calcium, copper, so forth. So they're very important. But in order to not bore the listeners too badly, I'll pick two. Okay, these aren't even the ones I had mentioned. Manganese, okay? It's for, again, for plant growth. It's also for chloroplast formation.
Yeah, but you're doing good, though. You got a lot of... This is...
Whoa!
Yeah. This is Walter White-level chemistry stuff you're talking about here.
Well, you know, it has to do with, collecting enzymes, nitrogen metabolism, and so forth. It's kind of on the boring side.
Yeah.
And then you get into, say, let's pick zinc, okay? Zinc is another one. It's a growth hormone, and it also... It has to do with internode elongation. Big words, right?
Jeez.
All that means...
I'm familiar with that, by the way.
All that means, Matthew... is the spacing between the branches and the leaves, or the leaves on the stem? It's also the spacing,
so
or the thickness of the stem. That's all it means.
If the number is higher on this particular part of the fertilizer, is the spacing between branches longer? Do you know what I'm saying?
We are talking trace elements here. You know,
all right.
Right?
Okay, so we fell down. The chemistry rabbit hole opened up, and we seemed to fall down it.
It's big. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Anyways, confusing. Just, you know what, most of your fertilizers that you buy, let's say you buy one for your house, is generally 20-20-20 would be an ideal one to use.
It's balanced.
It's balanced. Yeah. And if you're doing something with – if something is flowering, I would recommend to have a secondary fertilizer like, say, 1-3-1, and then you're good to go.
All right.
So boring stuff. Move on.
Yeah, please. Okay, so we've talked now for tens of minutes here.
Feels like hours.
On this. And we've mentioned only a couple of plants. Can we actually get to getting? All right. What are some of the, give me like the top whatever, the top 10 or the whatever it is. Give me the whatever. The plants that are the most beneficial to have indoors and why?
Let's get into the ones that produce most oxygen, Matthew.
Seems reasonable to me. Go.
Okay. So what do you want, day or night?
Let's do day and then we'll do night.
Okay. So generally speaking, through the day, areca palm is good, snake plant. Money plant, Gerbera daisy is another good one.
What?
Gerbera daisy. And you know what? I find that thing really hard to take care of, but Gerbera daisy is supposed to be great for even storing oxygen even at night as well. So
I can't wait to have to go and do the show bits for this stinking show.
A million plants.
Jeez.
Weeping fig, Matthew. You know, Ficus benjamino.
It just drop leaves like crazy.
Oh, and
if you walk by the thing, it's like...
And it does not like drafts whatsoever. No. So, no, yes. That's the one you got to be careful with. The one, listeners out there, if you really want one that does just about everything, get a peace lily.
Only problem with peace lily, though, isn't that slightly poisonous?
Everything is slightly poisonous.
Okay.
So peace lily on the whole is one of the best.
Okay.
And then, I said, by the way,
okay.
Chrysanthemum.
Well, you said because it rhymes with chrysanthemum.
Sure.
All right.
But chrysanthemum
everybody
is good.
Knows what that is, right?
And of course, you want the indoor variety. It would be something like a florist or a, what's the other one? A pincushion.
Right. But not your typical fall outdoor.
No, that's a mordant. And no, that's not good to go.
Mordant. What about at night?
Well, generally at night, you're going to find basically the same plants. Again, you're looking at spider plant.
Spider plant's great.
It's fantastic.
Those things are super user friendly.
Aloe vera.
Also a good one. Aloe vera. It's got to be the number one hit on this thing. Aloe vera.
And
easy to take care of. Don't have to water it much. Will take virtually any sun condition with the exception of in a closet. And if you get burnt or have a cut, it's a disinfectant and it also helps to heal.
It's good for filtering the air as well. So
right.
it's good. And again, back to, we did a show on Christmas cactus. It's good.
Really?
And again, Gerbera daisies on the list once more. And then I'm going to see her golden pothos. You know what a golden pothos is, Matthew?
What is a pea pol tree?
I have absolutely not any idea.
I got to go look that up. So I'll be going to show bits to look at what the heck a pea pol tree looks like.
I have actually no idea. Philodendrons are good.
That's a friend that you urinate with, a pea pal?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. No?
No.
Okay. So while we are on this, or even if you want to get more regal about it, whilst we are on this, there's a pile of misnomers.
Wait. If you want to filter your air in your home, you should be using roughly one plant for every 100 square feet of your home.
What?
If you want to clean the air and do everything else, you should be using at least one plant per 100 square feet.
If your home is 2,000 square feet?
20 plants. Or if your bedroom, they say it covers about 129 square feet. So at night, it's a little better.
Wow, that many.
Sure. So
what about size? So if you got Benjamina fig.
And your corn plants and so forth, those are great. So yeah, if the bigger the plant, the less you're going to need.
The less you need.
Sure.
So you could have 20
plants. So they're talking 8-inch pots.
All right.
Okay, so you know that gives you some sort of idea to go off of.
But that many.
Yeah, but it's great, Matthew. It cleans the air.
And that's why you
humidity.
Have 400 dead houseplants kicking around the house because of Mom.
Absolutely. Well, your mom's not very good at taking care of houseplants.
By the way, speaking of that, right? You have a little, what was it? What's your thing about a dead plant?
Oh. Dead plants don't heal. So if you don't...
Ladies and gentlemen... That was the Yoda moment.
Yes.
Of the show.
If you don't take care of them, then they're going to be dead.
Then they will die.
Then you will die.
Okay, misnomers.
Okay, so one of the biggies, as far as misnomers go, are Do plants like to be touched? What do you think, Soma?
I know the answer to this, full disclosure. They do not.
Why?
Because they are shy.
No, they're not shy.
They don't like, they have a spatial issues.
No, actually, they actually will stunt their growth.
What?
They will stunt their growth. They don't want to be touched. They're very sensitive. They don't want to be touched.
Okay.
So don't touch.
So they're shy. They're sensitive.
So when you're cleaning the leaves and that, the plant absolutely hates it. Okay.
Right.
Here's another biggie. What about talking to your plants? What do you think about that, Matthew?
Doesn't do anything.
Why?
Because they're quiet and shy.
No.
No.
No. The only reason that people say, oh, when I talk to my plants, they seem to grow better. This is true. But what's actually happening is when you exhale carbon dioxide, it's a stimulant to the plant, and the plant will grow. And that's the only reason it's actually growing. It's not anything you're saying to the plant. And I've heard all sorts of things. Oh, women's voices and so forth seem to stimulate the plant more.
Lies, lies, lies.
Lies. Well, not lies, but maybe.
Just misnomers.
Sure, 100% now, misnomers.
I would think that you expel more carbon dioxide when you yell, so maybe you should be yelling at the plant.
No.
Oh.
And what about the music thing, Matthew?
With regards to do the plants respond or do they grow better with music?
Right.
No.
Why?
I don't know. But
well,
they don't.
From what I understand is basically even if you like Mozart, plants are not going to react whatsoever to any sort of music. But there is something in the works right now which is called sound propagation. And I think maybe in the future, Matt, we'll have to do a show on
that. Yeah, I don't want to get – we don't have time to get into it, okay?
No.
But I'd like to get into – because that sounds interesting. That sounds interesting. According to this, this is the one thing that I am fascinated by, the circadian cycle.
Carcadian.
I've heard it as circadian.
No, you're saying it wrong.
Okay. Anyway, so what does that have to do with plants?
Well, generally speaking, what they're saying is that plants can survive way more
darkness
than what people realize. So they have a carcadian cycle like humans have.
Yeah. And for our listeners that are like, what are these guys talking about? It just means sleep cycle. It means there is a cycle of wakefulness and then a cycle of sleep. And that cycle for sleep is called the carcadian or circadian cycle.
And what's happening is this all has a bearing on photosynthesis again, which is, again, chlorophyll regeneration. Otherwise, the plant will simply die. It needs some sort of light. So remember, in the end, water, fertilize, light, and then you're good to go.
And you don't have to talk to them.
No talking.
You don't have to play Metallica.
Well, if you want to talk to them, you can talk to them and so forth. But it really boils down to is what you're exhaling, not what you're saying.
Now, here's a question for you. What if you've eaten something super oniony and your breath is terrible?
No bearing whatsoever.
Okay.
But they do want to, on the outdoor, Matthew, they do want to attract the bees. So their nectar can get strong or get sweeter and their scent can get stronger. So
when we get into springtime, the word sex is going to come up so much on this show.
All the time.
Because even indoors, lots of air sex happening, right? These plants are just...
They're having sex. They're all having sex.
It's a stinking orgy in your house. You're not even involved.
So here's a question for you, Matthew.
Yeah,
what is
quickly.
The only plant having sex in the wintertime?
Sorry?
What's the only plant having sex in the wintertime on the outside?
I know this.
What is it?
Moss.
Very good.
Yep.
They're a bunch of horn dogs, these little moss.
Irish.
They're always going at it.
All right. Let's push pause right there because this is getting into dangerous territory. There's your little houseplants talk. Pro tip. Doesn't matter if you talk to the plants. Because actually, if you talk to the plants, you're just interrupting sex. All that and much more on The Growing Season right here on News Talk, Saga 960 AM. Back off commercial break. Thanks for still being with us right here on News Talk, Saga 960 AM. Dad, you were really passionate about having Kimberly O'Brien, Ancient Medicines, come on. Because we were chatting about can cannabis be used for anything besides smoking a joint and anxiety and all this stuff?
Or salads,
yeah. So we found out about there's creams, cannabis creams.
Yeah, infused.
That are being used by holistic practitioners in massage routines when it comes to basically medically aiding an ailing body. But holistically, not necessarily with pills, but with reflexology, with massage therapy. So that led me down this rabbit hole. Where, like, wait a second, we got to find somebody. Now, Pat of Best Cut, Pat McFarland, who joins us routinely, he sees a woman in the Bolton area where we all live named Kimberly O'Brien. She happens to be a holistic practitioner. You guys linked up and you basically schmoozed her, and we have Kim on the show, and we're going to talk about what she does, why she does it, and there may or may not be a little bit of some typical growing season frivolity that happens throughout the interview. There is a story about a pillow that will go down in history.
So did you have an issue with the pillow, Matthew, when you went?
No. So for our listeners, at a later date, I actually did a pre and a post interview after getting a massage, and yeah, during where she flips you over and stuff, I started getting a little nervous because I don't want to have the pillow come out. Anyway, don't blow the pillow thing, because that's even terrible to say. We will lost my train of thought. Anyway, this is our chat with Kim O'Brien. Let's just get to it. Kim, what the heck is a holistic practitioner?
Sounds weird to you.
It's
basically someone who works with a person, but they look at the whole person. They don't just, you know, you come in for a massage. They don't just massage your muscles. They ask you how you are, what you're feeling, maybe add some aromatherapy in to calm you, as well as working on the body. So I do Reiki as well. So I generally incorporate energy work into massages for particular clients if that's something that if they feel they need.
Define Reiki, because for me, when I hear about Reiki, I think this is some Jedi level, like there's rocks levitating and you've got a small green alien on a swampy planet. But what, like, seriously though, right? Because this feels like somewhat, for lack of a better word, this feels like voodoo. Like it feels very alien to what we consider medicine here in the West. What is Reiki?
Oh, absolutely. But it's not that spacey, really. Energy creates matter. It's pretty scientific, right?
Yep.
I don't know if you remember that from science class.
Absolutely.
In school.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
But I remember.
So energy creates matter, but you can't destroy energy. You can only change it. So the energy in the body can affect it physically. So if you work with the energy of the body, you can help alleviate physical symptoms.
I was just wondering, I've been doing some reading on this because I like to come prepared, as Matt would know. But I was noticing that it says that this has been around for like 2,700 years in China and then like another 1,000 or more in India. And I was wondering, they say that basically 80% of the people that go to a doctor's office for whatever reason are there for pain. So how do you handle people coming in who are grumbling about their pain?
Well, it depends what their pain is, if it's chronic pain. Some people do have pain from emotional issues. So some people come and have a Reiki and pain is alleviated, strangely enough. I find reflex a really good one to work with pain.
So then, Kim, is there a bit of a disconnect between what you're doing and the medical doctors here in the West? I know that I visit a chiropractor on a monthly basis, and the chiropractor has, in a roundabout way, told me that there's this, not a war, but it's basically two-sided. You have doctors or you have Western medical professionals on one side, and then on the other side, you've got these other beings, these other people filling these roles. Are you, like, do you fall on the side with the chiropractor? Is there this disconnect or this almost stink eye being thrown towards practice?
I do have a lot of clients who tell their doctors that they're coming to see me for reflexology to, say, help lower their blood pressure or just calm that fight or flight stress response that we all have. That's really not fun.
Yep.
And a lot of the doctors do think it's hokey and they say, oh, there's no way it can help, but it does help. And, you know, a doctor, you might go and they might see you for one issue, but there's other issues you have going on that are connected, but they only let you talk about one thing at a time. So, yeah. And I'm happy to work with people who do both. I think it's important to do both. Check in with your doctor. But I think adding your own natural health therapies to what you're doing with your doctor is really important.
So what I find is that when people go to see a family doctor or whatever, they're there because they want something to be corrected immediately. They want to take a pill and they want it to go away. But when you're doing with what you do, it's a slow process. It's not done overnight. And I was just curious, how do you handle that?
How
do you get around saying that this is not going to be a one-time deal? It's going to take multiple times for you to correct or improve their situation. So how do you get around that?
You know what? The people that tend to come out for a natural therapy are understanding of that. I think that
really
the population is pretty educated right now and educating themselves about their own health and well-being and taking things in their own hands. And yeah, they understand sometimes that it takes a while for things to work. Like a series of reflexology treatments can help lower your blood pressure for a sustained amount of time. One will just help you calm down for that day and maybe give you some pain relief for a little while. But yeah, you need to take your time with it. Same with a natural supplement. Say something for inflammation. You know, you could take a Celebrex or you could take, some omega supplements, but you're going to have to take them every day for a long time before you're going to start to see results. Like you said, it's nothing immediate.
So, Kim, before we jump into the actual procedure, I want to know about you. How did you arrive at this? Because generally, when somebody arrives here, being basically anywhere, there's always a journey. I'm sure that this is not a straight line. This is more of a line drawn by a kindergartner, as in that it's kind of wavy, right? How did you arrive here?
Well, when I was young, I was sick a lot. Did spend some time in sick kids hospital, meningitis, all kinds of other issues. And I was being put on antibiotics all the time by the doctors, and then the problems became chronic, and then just decided to do some research about nutrition and other things, and meditation and yoga and anything to help my body feel better, build it up and get it stronger instead of constantly relying on medication, and then wound up not having the same chronic issues.
So it was definitely something like you can say to your clientele, hey, not only do I own Hair Club for Men, I'm also a client.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So I am an anxiety sufferer. And the instant that you mentioned anxiety, boom, something came up. And as far as anxiety issues, what can you do holistically that would help me regarding anxiety?
Well, just hands-on touch usually helps people calm down. Some people, massage is better. They like the massage because it helps comfort them and it helps release endorphins. The reflexology helps balance all your internal systems. So if you're having anxiety, that fight or flight response could be in hyperdrive. And I find generally people that come in can even be in a full-blown anxiety attack, and 20 minutes into a reflexology, they start to calm down.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, then again, too, with the presence of THC, because we're going to get involved with some THC talk, I'm sure that gets people nice and laid out, right?
So I have a question that is kind of like not so into what you do kind of thing. But what happens if a person comes, say, straight from work, and they're a little on the smelly side, okay, to say the least? I'm being serious here, and so let's say that, they come in and they're
funky.
They're on the funk side, okay. And if you're working on their feet and so forth, it could be a little bit, kind of hold your nostril kind of thing going on. And I'm just curious, like, how do you handle that? People coming from work and don't smell their best.
You know what? So many people are self-conscious about their feet and their odor. That most they are. They're, I'm sorry, my feet. If I'm doing reflexology, though, I usually clean people's feet with a hot towel.
Okay.
Because
okay.
I don't want to push anything on their feet right back into their skin. Right. You want them nice and clean. Yep. I do diffuse essential oils in the room as well. So that can help.
Right. So, Kim, it's been now 9 minutes and 22 seconds with you, and I feel like we've taken it easy on you here. My question would be is, like, you've probably seen the Seinfeld episode where George is getting the massage and stuff moves. My question would be is, how do you deal with
unusual?
How do you deal with involuntary movement of
certain
things
areas
that you might not necessarily want to? Because some people can, especially with feet, some people can get slightly aroused. How do you deal with if there's tents happening in the room?
That's never happened to me with
really? With
just the feet before, but I did have a client it happened to, and I just threw a pillow on top of it.
Or did you start? Yeah, think about your grandma. Start thinking about baseball.
Asphalt.
That's
think about
hilarious.
Asphalt.
I threw a pillow on top, and their dad is our soundbite. That is fantastic.
Fantastic.
I love it. Okay, so the number one question that I get from our listeners, Kim, has to do with marijuana and THC. The show here is called The Growing Season, and by the way, for our listeners, we are joined by Kim, ancientmedicine.ca. Visit the website. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Because of the recent legalization of THC and CBD and all this stuff, many of our listeners are continually asking us, hey, is this show about weed? And it's not. But what do you do with regards to THC? Because I noticed that there is some THC and CBD therapy happening. What do you do?
Personally, I've just recently got a product called the Buddha Bar.
Okay.
And what's that exactly?
It's for topical use, and it has lemongrass, arnica, and also THC. So basically, I use it on spots of like chronic pain and inflammation. So say someone has, you know, extreme knots, tightness in their muscles and pain that they can't get out. I'll use it on that spot. So the arnica is to help with trauma to tissue. So there's that. And then the THC is a muscle relaxer, right?
Yeah.
And pain reliever. even topically. And I've actually been using it on my arms as well, because I use my arms so much. The forearms get knotted up from massaging all day. And I've been using this Buddha bar on my arms, and it's working really great.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's good.
Absolutely fantastic. If there was one herb or one essential oil that people could be using that they probably don't know of or they aren't using, what would be the baseline? What is the one that you think, in your opinion, in your professional opinion, this is the one that you absolutely should be using?
You know what? I think eucalyptus is one of the best essential oils out there, and I don't think people realize how pain-relieving it can be, but also the decongestion properties and.
Because to me, eucalyptus smells like fall and winter. It's right. It smells like cold. It smells like you're trying to get over some sort of a cold bug, right?
Yeah, maybe people think of it as medicinal. They just think of it as more for cold, but I don't think that they realize how good it is for pain too.
Really?
Yeah.
I was always not skeptical, but I always looked at the essential oil section of any organic part of the drugstore or wherever they're sold, as I almost looked at it thinking, I'm not quite sure what those things do. I'm slightly afraid of that stuff. I feel like I'm going to go over here and get my Claritin, because this stuff kind of frightens me. But with regards to the essential oils, when did this stuff become popular, as well as are you seeing a trend upwards with the amount of people using these things?
Oh, huge, yeah. I remember when it was airy-fairy and, people just thought it was just for smelling nice, like didn't realize that it actually, the plant, well, all like so many plants are medicinal, right? And so many medicines are derived from plants, like, what is it, aspirin's from tree bark?
Yep.
Like your ASA?
Yep.
But now it seems every woman I know has a arsenal of essential oils in their house. And you've heard of doTERRA, that company?
Yep, absolutely.
They're huge.
Do you make your own, or are you just procuring them?
That's a crazy. I don't even know the process. There's cold pressed and hot pressed, and there's just steam distilled, and I'm not exactly sure what the process is. I think it's pretty involved, but I do make my own cold cream.
Right, and this cream is for pain, correct?
Well, have you ever heard of Tiger Balm?
Yes.
Sure, absolutely.
So I wanted to make like a homemade Tiger Balm because I just love Tiger Balm. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
But, you know, so as a landscaper, we're always coming across the various herbs and so forth. And so, you know, you'd be using, say, lavender. Sorry, Matt, lost the Latin here.
Yeah, no Latin, man.
So we're using, say, lavender as a way to get around, you know, like to keep the mosquitoes away. But, I mean, all these things seem to have more than one use. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
So then what if you were to say, okay, one herb that people should be planting, or one plant outside of the norm, because we know about aloe vera, we know about lavender, but is there something that people should be planting that would be sort of the Swiss Army knife, the all-purpose, like this does a lot of great stuff all in one plant?
Oh, that's a really good question. You mean as for use in the home?
Use, like whether it be like, or what is your go-to when it comes to like, I'm going to use this on somebody. What is the one that you always find yourself like, man, I'm always running out of this first because I use it so much?
Well, actually, as far as a plant goes that can be, since you can't make your own essential oil, a plant that I use a lot is peppermint. And as you know, peppermint grows like crazy.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
I started putting it in a container so it didn't take over the whole garden.
Yeah. Right. That stuff's nuts because it's all rhizome. It's all root stuff, right? And it's just going nuts, right?
So. Yeah.
So it also has that cooling effect as well. So I guess that's kind of good when you're doing your massage therapy as well, right? So.
Well, I make infused waters to give people a water at the end of their treatment.
Really?
And so a lot of times I'll make a cucumber peppermint or strawberry peppermint, things that have anti-inflammatory properties, calming properties. And then you've heard also peppermint's good for digestion. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So I have right now I have something called degenerative disc disease. You must have heard of that for sure.
And, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I mean, very it's painful. Debilitating, as you know. And mm-hmm. I mean, I've tried every medication and so forth out there, and I've not tried massage. And I was just wondering, I'd like you to mention a little bit about gait theory, if you could.
Yeah, what is gait theory?
Yeah, what is it?
I have two kids, Kim, 6 and 4, and we've just recently pulled our baby gates down. I'm not sure. Should we...
No.
Oh, right. Okay, good.
Yeah. Very good. There's in the spinal cord, there's a gateway, they call it, for pain signals that go to the brain. Okay. So you've heard that old joke, like, oh, you got a headache? Well, here, let me, you know, whack you with a hammer on the arm and you won't notice your headache anymore.
Do you actually do
that,
this?
Right?
Is this part of what you do? People
Have
come
you
out
heard
with
that joke? Yeah, oh, no, yes. I don't hit people.
Okay, good, great, good.
But basically, that whack on the arm to the hammer, that pain signal is more immediate and important than the pain in the head. So the spinal cord will only allow that pain signal to go. Basically, it's your body's way of prioritizing the pain that you have in your body.
Gotcha.
So it's a signal to say, well, you need to deal with this first. So you don't actually get the pain signal from, say, the headache. So things like Tylenol, aspirin, TENS therapy, they can stop those pain signals from going to the brain. And a lot of these things don't actually fix the problem with the pain. But when you're dealing with something like degenerative disc, which is extremely painful, you know what's wrong. And it's not something that can be fixed. So it's good to stop those pain signals, right? Reflexology would be something that would be good for you too. But also, I have a massage chair that you kneel on. I know you, if you can, if that's something you can
sure,
do
sure.
with your pain issues, you kneel on it and you lean forward. I don't know if you remember those ergonomic chairs from the 70s. You kneel on. It's kind of like that, but it's got the face cradle and armrest and everything. And it just helps open up your spine, stretch out your spine. And even just sitting in it for some clients I've had has been a relief.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Kim, Kim from Ancient Medicine joins us. Visit ancientmedicine.ca. Kim, I'm going to come in at some point and we're going to do a massage. But there's a common adage in my family that the dog used to be able to pick me up from the hair on my back and and drag me around the house. And so I will warn you prior, I'm a good Irish boy. I have been, so I come completely.
Hairy.
It's not that bad.
It is that bad. Whatever. 6 inches long on its
not
back.
Not 6 inches long. I'm not a Yeti. What are you talking
You're
about?
You're hairy.
So, yes, but I would love to come in because this stuff, again, as I said right off the top, this feels like Jedi stuff to me. This feels, so I'd like to get in and, you know, make
very Jedi.
I'll
Jedi mind trick you. Yeah.
Good, great. Yes. Excellent. If people would like to find you, Kim, online, how do they do that?
Oh, just looking at my website. It's ancientmedicine.ca.
Perfect. Are you on any other socials? Instagram, Twitter, Facebook?
Instagram, Facebook. I'm just getting used to the Instagram. Okay. You know, the Facebook's for the older people, apparently.
Yes. Yeah. But then again, too, with your clientele, it's interesting because am I inaccurate in saying that the majority of your clientele would be people that tend to be a little bit older? Is that inaccurate?
No, I've had clients bring their children to me.
Wow, cool.
Younger people, which I think is pretty amazing. Lucky kids. I can't imagine parents taking me for a massage when I was like 10 or 11.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
But the stress that kids have these days is unbelievable in school. And I can't believe how much like tension these kids are holding in their bodies. It's crazy.
Kim, it's been a pleasure.
Okay, thank you.
Visit ancientmedicine.ca. That's the website. Kim has been wonderful. All right, Dad, I'm off the table. No pillow necessary. I could control myself. Nothing moved.
That was fantastic, man.
A little bit of frightening, though.
Scary stuff.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Did Kim want to leave?
No. And by the way, full disclosure, I had 3 showers before I went down, and my back is not nearly as hairy as advertised by a certain person in this room.
Did you use some Nair, Matthew?
No.
No Nair?
No Nair. Absolutely no Nair. Many thanks to Kimberly O'Brien for standing this close to the McFarland flame. Visit her, ancientmedicine.ca. She's in the Bolton area. She's wonderful. I went down, as I had mentioned, for a massage. We're going to air those chats on a later show at some point. But she was wonderful. She was super... She makes you feel comfortable because this is a situation where you're getting down to basically your skivvies. And she makes you feel super comfortable.
Or less.
No, I had underwear on, man. There's nothing. I was strapped in, stacking, packing, and racking. I was making sure I wasn't moving anywhere. But, and then she puts soothing music on. It's absolutely wonderful as well. Dad, thanks to you for digging up all this information and for getting involved in Trace Elements.
Boy, is that on a boring side.
I happen to be a Trace Element of you, right?
No? It's a real boring thing,
yeah,
Trace Element.
Sorry about that.
But they're important listeners, so keep that in mind.
So, simple. GrowingSeasonCanada.com. All of our ways to connect with us on our socials are there. Again, to reiterate, The Growing Season airs live on News Talk Saga 960 AM, 11 AM on Mondays. Replays, Saturday 10 AM, Sunday 2 PM. But very, very simple. If you're not quite sure of any of that, it's very easy. GrowingSeasonCanada.com. It is the HQ for all things growing season. And as we ramp up towards spring, we're going to get even more and more and more stuff happening on the website. Upcoming shows, Dad, what do we have?
We have Respect Your Elders is another one that's going to be coming up. And that's about all of the old trees on Earth. It's going to be kind of on the cool side.
Absolutely. And then we're going to start getting into, I want to get into tropicals. I want to get into some terrarium stuff. It's going to be wonderful.
Well, the thing is about tropicals, most people have no idea on how to keep these things alive. I think we touched a bit on it today, but in the future, we'll do a show completely on tropicals.
All that, much, much more. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been The Growing Season on News Talk, Saga 960 AM. Dad?
Happy New Year's to all your listeners out there. Jack out.